Welcome back to another episode of the Adam and Dr. Drew Show Classics. Kicking it off for today, we have episode 874, released July 19th, 2018, titled, I'm Against Anything That Doesn't Work. Dr. Drew asks Adam about his position on universal basic income, which leads to a larger discussion including affirmative action and how Adam believes entitlement erodes effort.
What you got, Drew?
So I heard a talk podcast with a guy named Deneen, last name, and he was a former Princeton professor. He's at, I think, Notre Dame now. And he was talking – I don't necessarily agree with this guy, but it was a really interesting conversation, interesting premise, which was – that the whole idea of classical and progressive liberalism, which is essentially Republican government and representative government and democracy, has failed. And the reason it was failing is in the name of progressivism, we've cast off, as you and I have discussed before, you just want to be free, man. Just do what we want to do. And we've cast off all these constraints all the way down to constraints that we – or some felt were being provided by family, community, religion, don't want anything to do with that now, to the point where those institutions are actually just sort of evaporating.
Now, the I don't know. Institutions of family, religion, community,
yeah,
that kind
just
of
sort
stuff.
Of, they're sort of. Now, you may think they're coming back based on your feeling about what's happening, but it was just an interesting premise that the liberalism, and I don't mean liberal, you know, like liberal party. I mean liberalism as a political movement, a political philosophy, requires those things to be functioning in order. In other words, without those things, it becomes just the state and the individual, and then the state has to be who starts putting restraints on the individual and shaping the individual, rather than the family or the religious community or the community or neighborhood, whatever. Isn't that interesting? I just thought that was an interesting theory I thought you might enjoy, because you're always education and family, family and education, which is –
yeah, well, it's not – first off, it's not a theory. It's what is. It's not
well,
this notion that we're throwing around these theories like, well, yeah, two moms can oftentimes be as effective as a father and a mother. It's like, no, stop with the theories. There's certain truths. There's certain – things, there's certain laws of nature, and they're laws of psychodynamic laws. They're just laws. If you give everybody $500 a month or $1,000 a month, and you just go, that's your baseline. You get a check from the government every year for $1,000 a month. After about 9 months, it'll just be zero in their mind. It'll be, all right, this is what I get every month. Now, if you try to take that away, then you'll be taking $1,000 out of their pocket.
Right.
When the reality is it's not their money, it's $1,000. It doesn't take 9 years. It doesn't take 3 years. It takes, in my world, it takes 4 to 7 months for you just to go, I deserve that money, that's my money, and for you to be pissed off that you're not getting more money. How are you supposed to get by on $1,000 a month?
Now, this is a new topic.
And you'll ruin that person.
It's a new topic, but you are therefore against universal basic income. Yes.
I'm against anything that doesn't fucking work. Okay? I would like to take a controversial stance.
Yes, let's take the pragmatism party.
I was explaining to my wife this morning when they were talking about Supreme Court judge, she's looking at getting rid of Roe v. Wade, and I was like, meh. And then that's that, and he's going to say goodbye to affirmative action. And I said, good. And I was like, huh? Like, you're not for black people? I was like, I'm not for giving shit to people artificially because it doesn't work. It's not because I don't like black people. It's because it doesn't serve them. It doesn't serve them. I would not. I said to my wife, I said, look, our daughter's not she's not a great student. And she got her little Japanese friends that kick ass. And I would not want Natalia put into Harvard just sort of artificially. Like, well, her grades weren't as good, and her SATs weren't, you know. But we got her up in there anyway because she would fail. She would not do well. She wouldn't flourish. She should go to Michigan State or somewhere. She should go to wherever she deserves to go, but not
community college,
junior college,
junior.
I'd rather her just work at I'd rather her work in in the shale, the oil shale industry in Canada. I'd rather send her
extracting oil from the shale. Yeah.
Yes, I'd rather send her up to Canada, to Alberta, and have her work on that. Okay. I really would. Right, but she'd get better education. But here's what I'm saying. I want her and all black people and everyone else to go exactly where they should go. And
you want them all to thrive.
I would like them all to thrive, but if they don't, they don't. The notion of tacking on a couple of points and artificially pumping up to make up for the sins of history, I love that idea in principle. Yeah. I think it's a great sounding idea. Unfortunately, it is proven not to help people. And the whole social welfare thing, all the stuff that's gone on, I mean, it doesn't help. I've known it, of course, because I experienced it with my mom in a very small way. She got welfare from her parents in the form of a crappy house, and she got welfare from the government. But she was never all it does is make your muscles weaker and make you more and more resentful. Yeah. Like, it doesn't work. So the only thing that does work is, you know, family, community, church, you know, blah, 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 blah. All the boring, all the super boring stuff, all the old and boring stuff works. The new stuff, the progressive stuff, I got a great idea. Ha, here's how we're going to fix this problem. Just doesn't work. I wish it did. It's diet and exercise versus a Nutrisystem. No, we have low-cal fudge. You're going to have fudge for breakfast. Like, really? Well, why? Don't you want to live in a world where you can enjoy fudge and lose weight? It's like, I do, but it just doesn't work. It just, I don't know. You know, maybe it's not Nutrisystem's fault. Maybe it's our own foibles, our weaknesses, our human nature, whatever it is. Like, if somebody said to you, if you had two clients that were 100 pounds overweight and they both showed up and said, I'm committed to lose weight. I'm focused on it, and the one of your patients said, I'm going to get serious about exercise and diet, and I'm going to start walking every morning, and I'm going to go on the low carbs and low sugar Vinnie Tortorich thing. And the other one, I'm going full deal a meal, full Weight Watchers Nutrisystem that combine. I got a wheel that can I can eat whatever I want. I can have a shake or whatever. When they left the office, who would you think would tend to be right. more successful?
Right, long term,
long term, yeah. long term. They said, we'll come back in a year, and I'll tell you how much weight we've shed. Who would you put your money on?
Vinny.
Right. Now, I like a world where you get to have shakes and pies and fudge and pasta primavera and lose weight, but it's not how our metabolisms, and it's certainly not how our brains are wired. So, of course, there's going to be more of this. Drew, let me give you a coaster. Keep slamming your mug down.
Sorry, I'm actually done. I'm actually finished.
It's done, it's but good. You're not done with your slamming
yeah,
your
yeah,
mug.
Yeah. No, because I'm finished with the coffee.
Oh, today, but tomorrow, my friend.
Oh, I have.
He shall return.
Hey, by
with
the way,
hotter mug.
No, I like those. Let me have.
I'll give you a coaster.
I wondered where they were. Yeah. Well, they used to have all this stuff in front of me, for, even for the microphone. So,
I made him a coaster out of a rubber mat.
Yeah.
So it'd be nice. We've done the experiment. It does not work. It can't. It never will until we change our wiring. Mm. And seems like our wiring's not changing anytime soon. So all the stuff that we think is compassionate and kind-hearted and whatever, all it's doing is weakening the group we're giving it to. And there was a Gary.
Yes, sir.
Another thing for you to look up. There's a, I think it's a pretty liberal senator, and he noticed in like, he published a paper. You listen, Drew?
I'm listening. I'm
trying to think of his name. Anyway, it's a liberal guy, and it was like 1968 or something, and he noticed that the black family had like a 25% divorce rate or absentee dad rate. And he announced that's alarming. And he wrote a paper like called the decree for Negro families or something like that. I don't know if it was like Lieberman or I almost It wasn't like McCarthy. It was like Morrow or something like that. You know, look it up. Anyway, he went as a liberal guy. Like, he was like, oh, shit, this community's suffering because we're at this alarmingly high rate of single moms, and this is not going to work for them. He, like, published a paper and came up with a thing and started talking about it. He, of course, got called a racist and shouted down and told all the other politicians basically went, okay, don't bring that shit up again. I don't want to get yelled at. I need votes. Well, now it's around 75%. He was alarmed at 25%. He was sounding the alarm bell. He got shouted down. And I don't know. How's it been going? Tell me how the last 50 years has been going. You can find that maybe, Gary, if I've given you enough to work off of.
I think so. Give me a moment.
But look, that's where we're at. Whatever color you are, housing, welfare, whatever. Look, listen. Even if you fall off that horse, it's still not the government who should be helping you get dusted off. You know, I think people go like, well, you know, maybe unemployment, you know, maybe you get welfare for a few months and then you get back up on your feet. And you got, I don't even like the few months. Go find your family. Where's the family? Because you'll marry the government. And that's what's going on. And this notion of like, yeah, Moynihan. Thank you.
Patrick Moynihan.
Yep, there you go.
You're right. Patrick Moynihan.
Yeah. He's Assistant Secretary of Labor under LBJ. The Negro Family, the case for national action in 1965, Drew.
Yeah. And
because imagine where we'd be at if white families were 25%
right.
Absentee dads now. Well, now, we've exceeded that.
Yes, I know.
Yeah. Now, at the time, we're probably not. Yeah, I don't know. White families were at 15%. But when they passed 25%, this guy went, oh, there's going to be trouble. Well, of course there's going to be trouble.
Next up, it's episode 234, released April 30th, 2015, titled Overdosing on Edibles. Adam recounts an incident regarding his daughter's cell phone that serves as an allegory for the aversion to accountability plaguing society.
I don't know. I found myself doing this yesterday, last night. I don't know if you find yourself doing this. Your kids are probably old enough. I don't want to sound like a dick all the time, but I'm trying to... I have this quest, and my quest is to avoid the same mistakes and or slash conversations that I've already previously had, because it's sort of redundant, a little bit of a waste of time, and life is, there's so much to do. Now, I'll give you an example, I'll give you a small example.
I just wonder where you're going.
You'll know.
Go ahead.
Fonda Lear sits in the other room.
Yeah.
And I call him all the time, and I just start shouting stuff out. Write this down. Bathroom hooks.
Yeah.
And he'll go, what's that mean? And I'll go, just write it down.
He still asks, what's that mean?
No, he writes down bathroom hooks.
Right.
But he'll go, do you want any? You know? And I'll go, no, just remind me later. Remind me later.
Okay.
And then, so yesterday, what I did in between podcasts and audiobooks was I went in there and we're trying to get the Newman documentary has a lot of Budweiser in it. Mm. A lot of Paul Newman's drinking a Budweiser. People are saying after the race, he'd like to have a Budweiser. And his car says Budweiser all over it. And we're trying to get Budweiser to go in on this charity event that we're getting together at Indianapolis. It's, you know, you buy a sponsorship, the money goes to charity, it helps us put the thing on, and the thing's a Budweiser commercial. So where's Budweiser? You know, we got Nissan. Where's Bud? So, you know, finally we got John Taffer from Bar Rescue, who's a friend, colleague, whatever. He knows the main man over there, and he said, you know, put together a little sizzle reel. You know, 2-minute thing showing all the Budweiser in the movie. Yeah. Paul Newman drinking the Budweiser and the Budweiser car and all that kind of stuff. And then we'll put together a couple of blurbs, you know, hey, best racing documentary since Senna and best, you know, blah, blah, blah. We'll put together some good headlines we got, you know. And then we'll send him a couple pictures from the premiere that have the Budweiser car parked out front and then a little cover letter and we'll get Budweiser. Or we'll do our best.
Mm-hmm.
And we worked on that. And then later on, I had him order a bunch of bathroom hooks that he reminded me of.
Okay.
If I went back to him today or 3 days from now and said, what's going on with those bathroom hooks? And he said, yeah, I don't know. And I said, well, we went over it and we ordered them. Yeah, but I didn't order them. That would be a massive waste of my fucking time.
To have ever said anything to him.
Well, I want to say it once.
Yeah, yeah.
And then if I went back and said, what, any response from Budweiser right. on that thing? Well, I didn't send it out to him yet.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We didn't send it out. We finished it on Monday.
It'd be confusing.
He'd say, yeah, but I didn't know if you wanted it sent out. Yeah. I'd say, well, no, we finished it. He sent it out. By Thursday, we should be hearing back from them. Instead, they haven't read it yet. Yeah.
Anyway.
So send it out.
Yeah.
And then if I went back 4 days after that, the following Wednesday, and said, what's going on with Budweiser? Yeah, I didn't know what you wanted me to do with that. It would slow my life down
yeah, yeah.
and stop hurt my productivity quite a bit.
Yeah.
Would you not agree?
Agreed.
Agreed. So what I'm sort of saying to everyone or anyone who listened, let's not go through life that way because...
What prompted this?
I'll tell you in a second. I gotta do this audiobook,
yeah.
and every second I waste standing over here and having this conversation is another...
This meaning Matt.
Or anything
yeah,
that's
yeah.
redundant
yeah.
in my life.
Yeah.
I cannot have the other... I can't get to the other stuff. All right, put my yearbook down.
It's
I'll
unbelievable.
Show you that in a second.
Oh, my God.
Just put it down.
Did
through.
You just find this, or have you always had this?
I've never owned any of my yearbooks.
How'd you find this?
Somebody sent it to me.
Oh, my God.
Set it down. Set it down. We'll get into it in a second.
Ugh.
Here's my point.
Next show.
Last night, after watching the scintillating coverage
Thank you.
Of Baltimore burning.
Yeah, yeah.
Fire! we were laying in bed. We were watching Modern Family with the kids. And Natalia and Sonny started going at it. They're arguing and arguing. And no, Natalia. He doesn't call her Natalia. Natalia. I don't know where he gets it. They call Olga Olgai, and he calls her Natalia. And it's nobody else calls her Natalia. She would call her Natalia, but that's what he does. So he says, Natalia, no, no. And she's like, I just want to use your phone, Sonny. Give me your phone or iPhone or whatever he's got. I just want to borrow it. No, Natalia, use yours. Okay. Where is then the course of quit? Now it's a big fight over borrowing his shit, using his shit, always grabbing for his shit.
Yeah.
Where is hers? That's the question.
Yeah.
Where's her stuff?
Yeah, yeah.
She has an iPhone. Why doesn't she have it? Answer, Erica has it.
Whoa.
Now, Erica is someone else's nanny who came over here and took the kids on Sunday because Molly's a mess. And she was, like, bleeding out. Lynette had to take her to the vet, and I had to take the kids in with me to do the podcast. Mm. But Anton, the kids in town for a week, and Erica agreed to pick them up and blah, blah, blah. Erica was holding Natalia's phone, and when Lynette went and picked them up, why, naturally, the phone did not come along with Natalia.
Right.
And now I'm having my evening ruined because these two are arguing like cats and dogs.
And then you've got to start figuring out how they're going to get the phone back.
Lynette does, but anyway. So I have this. Now, here's what I'm saying. What happens is we're sitting there, and it's at some point, because it's getting violent, I have to chime in. Where's your phone, Natalia? Lynette and Natalia look at me and go, Erica has it. Erica has it? Erica's got the phone. Okay. So why does Erica have the phone? She took the phone from Natalia, and she didn't give it back. But don't worry. She's going to come by tonight, and she's going to drop the phone off. But Erica took the phone. Erica has the phone. I said, Erica took the phone? Well, she was holding the phone for Natalia. I said, hold on a second. I'm sorry for sounding like a dick here, but... Natalia forgot the phone. Yes, Lynette? Yeah? Well, no, Erica has it. I want to call this what it is. And the reason I want to call it what it is so that we can get something out of it and then not have it happen with such frequency.
Yeah.
I'm not, what I don't want it to be is Erica took the phone, because that's just going down in everyone's head is there's nothing anyone could have done about it.
This object named Erica kiped the phone.
Yeah, Erica offered to hold the phone for you while you went down the slide.
And you forgot.
And because Erica is no CNN helicopter pilot, and not a reporter,
yeah.
And you're you, the phone is now a million miles away. And we're having a fight in my living room. But here's what I'm interested in.
Making that not happen again.
The only good that would ever come from this fight, we're having a throwdown at 9:30 in my bedroom now while I'm trying to relax. This is bad.
Yeah.
The only way some good could come from this is if we properly label it and then try hard to avoid it in the future. That's the only good that can be salvaged.
Were they willing to let you do this?
They did a round and a half, maybe two rounds of Erica's got the phone. I had to do the usual why are you being a dick move where I go, look, I'm sorry, but let's call it what it is.
Yeah.
You, meaning Natalia, and to some degree Lynette, forgot the phone.
Right, right.
And so did Erica. But you guys forgot it.
Well, let me
and don't do it in the future, and we can avoid this. Yes?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, let's call it what it is, which made me think of you, which is the first thing we need to do is label things and say what they are.
Yeah, you're right.
And it bleeds all the way into this, what we're talking about.
That's how you set goals.
Forget about Baltimore, yeah. Ferguson.
Yeah.
If we're just going to call this a young black man running away and a cop chasing him and shooting him in the back, if that's what we're going to label it, we're going to be in a lot of trouble. We're not going to learn anything. We're going to be in a lot of trouble. The grand jury comes back, and the woman with the Black Pride tattoo says under oath, no, he was walking at the cop when the cop shot him. Little different story there. So let's get our story correct, and then we can look for ways to remedy it.
Well, as it pertains to...
There's no way to remedy running from a cop and getting shot in the back.
Right.
I mean, walking at a cop, we can work on.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, we can coach up the cops if that's in fact what happened. But what I'm saying is let's get the story straight and then let's work on the remedy. Let's not all just call it. And there's... I don't know why, but I'm noticing more and more and more of just people living in their own world and calling stuff what it is.
That's the whole PC thing. We're falling into ideological sorts of...
Yeah, and the phone thing wasn't a PC thing. The phone thing was, we don't really want to blame this on us.
I had a strange argument with a girl last night on Loveline about polyamory. She was like, there's a book written about this, and it's the ethical slut, and this is what they say. I'm like, I don't give a fuck what they say. This is not real. This is some sort of somebody's concept.
We'll be right back with more of the Adam and Dr. Drew Show Classics. Finally, we have episode 624, released July 14th, 2017, titled What's Not in Your Head? Dr. Drew questions how long Adam has been wearing the same shirt, prompting a conversation on funk as it applies to Adam.
That Muhammad Ali T-shirt you're wearing,
I
think you've been wearing for a month.
Yeah. What happened? A couple things.
Is there a good reason for that?
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, that T-shirt, which I'm afraid to get near. It sort of scares me. Yeah,
Shout out to our friends at Roots of Fight, by the way.
It's pretty dirty.
Yeah, great products.
They're nice. It's soft. There's a couple of things. I've been lifting a little bit of weights.
Oh, that makes it much me want to be near it even more.
and just a little bit. Uh-huh. I mean, normally my eyes.
So you've been working out, sweating in it? Oh, well, that's what
I'm saying.
No. I understand why you're wearing it.
No, I have. I'm a skinny guy with a pretty big chest and like shoulder. If I lift weights, my chest and shoulder will kind of barrel up a little bit. And so the older T-shirts that were a little bit snugger get a little, this thing's soft and billowy.
Mm-hmm.
And I wear shirts way more than once. I have 35 times. I have a move where I'll sometimes get some extra. Here's my move. I take deodorant. I have two kinds of deodorant. I have the basic Toms of Maine, sort of just
roll
stick.
Yeah,
it's not roll on. Stick, I guess stick form. It just smells like not much. And then I have a can of like just baby powder, light blue. It's chick stuff.
I'm just thinking you have a sweating problem. Just still nothing under the arms, huh?
No, I sweat. I sweat under. I sweat. My chest sweats
you
a
don't,
lot.
No funk.
Funk is basically no, with a rare occasion of what is that? And then it's like, oh,
maybe it's
me.
The third week on a shirt.
Oh, it could be. I just want to argue with Olga. She's like, I'm washing that shirt. Like, no, I don't wash it. It's fine. No, I'm washing it. You know, I don't like that. No, I was actually reading an article that basically said about 2% of the population like doesn't need deodorant. Like they just don't smell.
Yeah.
Well, I've never gotten into it with the thing about. Okay, I am generally without funk.
Generally, yes,
but I can have funk.
Yes.
So I would never. I don't go. I never smell because I have. I can. It's just generally that's not my wiring. Like
that's coming from your. Yeah, you got that.
I'm not a. I don't have a lot of
stuff
a lot that other
of,
people have.
It's true. You don't have a lot of stuff people have, including a lot of people don't have all that ass hair.
I got ass hair.
You got it.
Well, no. What I have.
That's got to produce a little accumulation.
It doesn't produce, but it gathers.
It gathers there. It gathers.
It's like. Does a lobster cage make lobsters, or does it capture lobsters?
Captures. So you capture a little funk element there?
It can.
And
I don't see where
Tom's of Maine is going to be able to handle said funk. Tom's, again, that's you're pushing around what something in a shag carpet.
That gets the talcum down the shorts, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Then I'm weirdly, I have no hair on my back, upper shoulders, or not much on my chest. So I'm devoid of hair in many places that guys have hair, but
no,
I have hair on my ass.
Like Pan.
Yeah. You know? Pan. Yes, I've been wearing this shirt a lot. You know, was I telling you about Kareem Abdul-Jabbar?
No.
With it? I had a very funny, not funny, but like, this is life. I hadn't been wearing this shirt very often. Also, the thing about me is whatever hat, whatever T-shirt you give me, I just wear it. Then people think that I'm into whatever that hat or T-shirt is. No, it's just a free hat or free
just
T-shirt.
What came along, grab it, put it on. That's it.
Yeah, it's a nice black T-shirt with some Muhammad Ali stuff on it. But if you saw me walking around, you'd think I bought a Muhammad Ali T-shirt, was really into Muhammad Ali.
Speaking of Muhammad Ali, that Layla Ali interview I did was pretty interesting, wasn't it, about him?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, what do you have the number on that one? I was surprised some of the stuff she was saying about him. It was really interesting.
She made me cut out what I thought was one of the most interesting lines.
No.
It was the thing that Muhammad would tell people.
No,
she just didn't feel comfortable, so that didn't end up.
I'm not going to divulge her confidence, but that was fascinating. I thought. Anyway, he. To summarize what he would say, essentially, was, you know, even though he's the most famous man in the world, he's still a black man in America.
That's episode 265, and it may be behind the paywall, but go to podcast1.com/premium. You get every episode of this show and all the great shows.
Right, so go
sorry,
ahead.
What's that mean? Still a black man in America?
He couldn't.
When people would come up to him being effusive, he would go, "That's great, but I'm still black."
Yeah, essentially. He had a way of saying it that was pretty startling, but that was, you know.
So can we get back to me and my
Yes, you and your shirts. Yes, of course. I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. Your website's listing is 65, but everywhere else is listing is 64. We'll clean that up.
264.
264, 265.
Okay, thanks.
So I was going to do a long form with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Mm. As long as we're bragging about interviewing black people, my money manager, Tony Reed, was a very nice guy and a diehard UCLA fan
Fred Flintstone's grandson?
Yes. He loves...
Literally. The voice of Fred Flintstone.
He loves the Lakers and he loves UCLA, and thus he loves Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Sure.
And he just sent me a note that said, I've heard 25 interviews with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and that was the best. Yeah. And I'd like to take credit for him. My only preparation was his T-shirt. I was getting ready to put on T-shirts, and I thought, I'll do the one with Muhammad Ali on it because that'll probably score me some points with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Later, in the middle of the interview, when I was asking him why he never joined with the sort of radical Muslim, you know, community, yeah. He said those guys were just as bad as the group we're fighting against. Like, why join? You're basically saying this is my argument. Oh, this is my atheist argument, right. Which is like, if I'm going to go down to the courthouse and try to get the Ten Commandments ripped off of the statue on the sidewalk in front, Now I'm a nutty. I'm the other side of the coin, but I'm going the same direction.
Yes, you're extremist. You're an extremist.
Yeah, but I'm an atheist because I'm lazy, not because I want to go out and do something. You know, and his thing is like, I'm Muslim, but I don't need to join a pro-action Muslim group. I'd just be a Muslim.
Got it.
But I was wearing the guy's T-shirt. He was saying, like Muhammad Ali, ooh. And I was wearing a Muhammad Ali T-shirt. So see what happens when you try to kiss some ass?
Backfires.
Literally, I was trying to brown nose. Mm-hmm. The brown man. Nose. Yeah, Kurt, 28, Portland.
Hey, get it on.
Get it on, man.
Hey, Drew, I got to thank you for helping me get off drugs. And Adam, I got to thank you for helping me pee in sync.
Yeah, it's liberating, man.
Well done.
Yeah, no, that was a joke. I'm not no drugs here, but I thought it would play better if, you know,
yeah.
Whatever.
Hey, Drew, you know me and my constant multitasking?
Yeah.
I realize peeing is a waste of time for me. I can be brushing my teeth while I'm peeing.
Oh, that, I picked that up a long time ago.
But so thus it's easier in the sink.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead, Kurt.
No, that's all right. That's solid.
You can still brush your teeth over the toilet if you want.
Not as effective. I don't want to risk it.
There's a little splash.
So Adam,
splash.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Adam, I know that you barely passed North Hollywood High, but I want to challenge you on some math here. So you've gotten into this recently, and I actually wanted to call in a while and talk about this, but you've said that you hope that you're wrong, that there is an afterlife.
Yes.
Correct?
So, very nice.
But from a Christian perspective, that would mean that as of today, you would be going to hell. So I think your math may be off on that.
No, I've worked that out.
Okay.
I'm a good person. So.
Plus, if you're Catholic, all you have to do is say, ask for absolution.
That's
not, and
first
done.
Off, there's Kurt, this is total and utter nonsense. There's a couple things. I might not be a nice person. I'm a good person. I take care of people around me, and
according to the Catholics, you're going to hell because you haven't been baptized, or limbo at least.
Doesn't matter if there is not an all-knowing deity up there that's going to whatever. But on the very, very, very small chance that some semblance of this exists, there's no way I get held out. There's no way I get kept out of this place. It wouldn't make sense cosmically. By the way, it wouldn't make sense for them. It would be a horrible plan. There would just be, now, unless I could get back down to Earth and start yelling at everybody, don't worry, they'll let you in. All you have to do is get a Catholic big brother. You don't have to be Catholic. Just get just do some good. I'm not a saintly guy, but I don't do wrong by people. I don't steal from people. I don't hurt people. I don't take people. And I'm very conscientious about what other people need and what's fair and what's unfair, and pay my taxes and raise my kids. I would never, ever go. Someone like me would never make it in there. There's done no harm to anyone ever and just gone about his way. No way. So it doesn't exist. And if it does exist, there's no way they're keeping somebody who's led my life out of there.
Okay.
So
yeah,
that's the way I look at it.
I understand that. I listen to you guys religiously, all the podcasts you guys do. I will just say this, that at least from a Christian perspective, it's not works-based. It's all based on belief and faith in Jesus. So you know, works and sort of being a good person is not
That's
power.
The most self-serving, retarded, fucked-up way to manage this ever. And I got to look, Jesus doesn't exist. God, whatever, it doesn't exist. If he did, he's not a fucking retard. That's the most grandiose, self-serving.
Leave out 9/10 of the world?
Well, not only leaving out 9/10 of the world, but you're saying, look, go ahead and cheat on your wife, cheat on your taxes, cheat on everything, be everything. But just as long as you embrace me, and then you'll be fine. That makes him worse than anyone that doesn't agree with him. So that's horrible. That's fucking retarded, Kurt. So just do both. How about that? Go and believe in Jesus Christ and then act accordingly.
Like he would. That was the original idea, right?
I don't know. Kurt, you still there?
Yeah, yeah, I'm here.
I'm angry. It doesn't make sense. It's grandiose. I say, look, it's not actions based. It's you gotta believe in me. That makes him an insane narcissist, doesn't he? He's not saying, I don't care. You can fucking burn down an orphanage. I don't give a shit. As long as you're looking out for me.
Do it in my name.
Do something. People have such a... The thing about the world, the thing about the universe, and the thing about life is that it makes sense. It'll always make sense. It might not always be fair. It might, no guarantees, but it'll make sense.
Thanks for listening to another installment of the Adam and Dr. Drew Show Classics. New episodes drop on Saturdays, so don't forget to check back weekly. And while you're there, please like, subscribe, and rate us 5 stars wherever you get your favorite podcasts.